Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show. My name is Jansen Brooks, and I'm coming to you live this morning from Northern California. Just a little bit of info about the Council of Elders concept. It's a concept where elders in the community will try to instill wisdom and knowledge to younger people and help them navigate through life, and also listen to younger people who can give us some very valuable information. So with that said, let's get started with our show today. Now, I was supposed to have a guest come in today, and at the last minute, they had an emergency. And so I had to pivot today on another topic, which is mindset. We're going to be talking about mindset today and changing one's mindset and some of the concepts that some psychologists have towards helping people to change their mindset. You know, some of the oldest literature that we have is the Bible, which says that be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And also it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we know that there's a lot to be said about this, but some of the modern psychologists have come up with, you know, it's kind of evolved, you might say. And so I was reading, I believe it was in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago about a tennis player. They were playing in the Australian Open, I believe it was, and this particular tennis player had a mindset coach, and I thought to myself, wow, a mindset set coach. And the caption was, the headlines was in the article, they have the talent, but he teaches them it takes positivity too. And this mindset, now you've heard of sports psychologists, so I think this is something on that same vein where someone can have talent, they can have skills, but something is holding them back. Something is giving them a mental block to where they can't take their life. And we know that sports is basically a metaphor for life. Some of the things that are taught in sports can be talked about in life. I have on the line with me John Brown today. Say hello to everybody, John.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Hope everybody is having a good morning this morning. I don't know if you guys had your coffee yet, but y'all need to go get some coffee or a juice, a glass of juice or something, because this show right here is going to be I'm talking about a doozy. I'm talking about a really good show, because mindset is very, very important. And another thing, too, he was just talking about coaching. You know, you just think of this year. If you take a basketball and put it in my hand or Mr. Jansen's hand, what the basketball would work, it would work maybe, what, $15, $20? And a good basketball, maybe $25, maybe $30. But take it and put it in LeBron James' hands. You're talking about millions of dollars, okay? And the reason for that, you mentioned one thing, coach. And he was talking about, do we have a coach for mindset? We need a coach for everything. Even your rappers, you know, your musicians and things of that nature, they have coaches, which they call them managers. But in order for them to be successful in life, they got to get a coach. Back to you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, thank you,
Mr.
John.
Brooks, back to you.
Okay. So in this book, it's called, that I'm reading right now, it's called Mindset, The New Psychology of Success, How We Can Learn to Fulfill Our Potential. And she talks about parenting, business, school, and relationships. The major thesis of this particular book, and I'm just on the first chapter right now, but she's saying that there is a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. And I'll talk a little bit about each one. If someone has a fixed mindset, they kind of accept the fact that their mindset is fixed. For example, they say, well, that's just the way I am. I can't change it. If you have to work hard, you don't have the ability. If I don't try, then I won't fail. That job position is totally out of my league. Now, this is somebody with a fixed mindset. They feel like how they are right now, they're pretty much stuck in that mindset. But then on the other hand, she talks about a growth mindset. And in a growth mindset, a person would think, constantly evolving, and I'm a work in progress. The more I challenge myself, the smarter I become. I only fail when I stop trying. That position looks challenging. Let me apply for it. And so what she's saying basically is how you think about yourself determines your present and your future. And so if anybody would like to join this conversation, by all means, let's do so. I think we have a few callers on today, so feel free if you want to join in. In this article, I'm going back to the article in the New York Times, where the gentleman was saying he gave some he guides top athletes through their careers. And one of the things he says is focusing on the future or the past is wasted energy because we can't control either one. Also, he says no point in a tennis match is worth more than any other, so why bother treating them differently? If you have to do something or achieve something to be someone, you will never be content. We don't know ourselves enough, and the bits we do know, we don't love enough. So I would just like to start a conversation today about mindset. If anyone has any tips, tricks to offer on changing your mindset, because we're trying to evolve, we're trying to grow. And where we were 10 years ago, we don't necessarily need to be stuck in that position. So I see someone in the 770 area code. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Malcolm Hughes. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia suburbs. And what I thought about when you were talking about mindset, I used to call it focus or whatever when my kids was growing up and they were involved in sports or whatever. I tell them to focus, focus, focus. But one of the things that I learned when I was a kid, I heard this somewhere. I can't recall exactly where. I read it somewhere. And it goes like, if you think you can, then you can. If you think you can't, then you can't. And I have used this philosophy throughout life. Whenever I face challenges or had difficult decisions to make, I go back to, I know I can do this, and I need to change my mindset. When people ask me for advice, the first thing I tell them is, hey, you got to get your mindset right. And then once you get your mindset, you know, you get some knowledge and then get a mentor. So that's another whole story in itself. But that mindset is very important. Once I set my mind to something, most of the time I can accomplish it. And facing a challenge right now, I'm trying to transition from one phase of real estate, from single family residential to multifamily. And what I found out is another saying that the enemy of great, good is the enemy of great. And I'm pretty good at this single family real estate, but now I'm trying to transition to multifamily and commercial. And what I have to do is I have to have a mindset to transfer to the commercial side of it. One of the things that I've done is I no longer look at any single family residentials. I only focus all my time and attention to the commercial or the multifamily. I've just changed my mindset. So I am in tune with what you're saying about mindset, and I'm anxious to hear what some others have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Malcolm. I remember that saying you were talking about. I think that was Henry Ford who said, if you think you can, you can. If you can't think you can't, you can't. Something like that. Let me just the growth mindset is based on the belief that your basic qualities are things you can cultivate through your efforts, your strategies, and help from others. Although people may differ in every which way, in their initial talents and aptitudes, interests, or temperaments, everyone can change and grow through application and experience. So I think what she was saying is a lot of times, if we have the wrong mindset, we don't even try something. And I can kind of go along with what you were saying, Malcolm, myself, because I do financial services, insurance, help people with retirement plans. And when I first started, I could only feel comfortable talking to, I would say, poor people, or, you know, people, you know, with limited means. And when I talk to rich people with very well means, I would be nervous, you know. And so I had to change my mindset. And when I changed my mindset and started talking to people, you know, with higher incomes and so forth, I realized that they had problems. They had problems, too, that I could help them solve. And so I also in helping them solve that problem, I made more money. So, but it was something that a transition that I had to make, and I found out that it was actually easier than I thought. So, would anybody else, John? Do you have anything on your mind?
Yeah, I had to laugh whenever you say that about when you're going, you weren't that comfortable talking to people that had a little money or successful people have been successful. Well, and I was the opposite. Excuse me, y'all. Many years ago, my thing was, you know, like you put God first. You know, I would, look at it to where as though God gonna mow down all my fears. Everything I've just about touched, I always put God first. And regardless, you can try to set your mind anywhere, any way you want to. But if you don't have God in your life, if you don't have put God first, it might last us 2-3 years. But, you know, you're weak. You're building your foundation really weak. And it's going to fall. It's definitely going to fall. I'm a living witness. You put God first and build your foundation. And then you can go right on and go from there. You can build on that because God's going to protect it. When I say he's going to protect it, he's going to protect it, you know. And start off with that, putting God first, you know, and you can build a strong mindset. I have a pretty good strong mindset. And I've seen some things in my life, you know. I'm 71 years old. I've been through a lot of things. Just the other day, I'm going to tell you guys something. Just the other day, I got a call, and it was some people downtown at the state capitol in Sacramento, California. They was protesting against the COVID, you know, giving shots or whatever, and they was telling the people, don't be mentally blind, you know, don't be the mentally blind in America. Now, check this out. They called me and said, man, somebody's talking about being mentally blind in America. He said, isn't that your book or your documentary? I said, yeah. I said, that's what they were doing. I said, but I don't know these people, you know. I didn't give them permission to do that. But then I got to thinking. I said, wow, God is good. And people been, you know, and off of that, somebody went up on Amazon and bought my documentary, The Mentally Blind in America. I say, wow, because I get notices when they buy it. So, but I put God first. You know, I don't know if they tried to steal it. I don't know whatever they tried to do. But you know what I'm saying? It worked in my favor. So that's why I said always put God first.
Right. That's awesome. So getting back to Carol Dweck's book, the fixed mindset versus the growth mindset, and bear in mind I'm only on chapter one of the book right now, but the fixed mind, a person feels that I can't, you know, that's just the way I am. Nothing I can do about it. That's where I was born, and that's the way I'm going to die. And so the growth mindset is that I can evolve. I can learn by doing. So, Malcolm, that's something that I can agree with what you're saying, is that you're only looking at multifamily dwellings right now because you want to evolve and you want to go to the next level. And so how did you come to that conclusion? Is it just look at multi-level dwellings?
Well, I mean, it's a natural evolution. We all want, like you say, we all want to grow. And so I just, you know, I've been somewhat successful. I want to take it to the next level. I tell my daughter's working with me a little bit in real estate, and I tell her what I want you to do. Once we do see some things and we get exposed to some things in life, then we, you know, once you know better, you should do better. And I sincerely think that if I had to do it all over again, I would have gotten into multifamily commercial much sooner. And so basically it's just a matter of exposure, always wanting to grow, you know, and expand my horizons. And quite frankly, that's where the money is. What the statistics tell us is that you can make a heck of a lot more money with multifamily than you can with single-family residential. And so I just naturally wanted to do it. Another thing is, when I first came to Atlanta from Alabama, I used to drive down the streets of Peachtree City or wherever, or excuse me, Peachtree Street. Now I see these huge buildings, and I would think to myself, one day I'm going to own one of those buildings. And this was back in the 80s. And so that's my ultimate goal, to own one of those big buildings on Peachtree Street or one of those high-rise apartment or condo complexes. So, you know, I've always had this dream to do this, and it's just a matter of progression. As we grow again, you know, we want bigger and better things. And John was saying, if the good Lord give us the ability to do it, and he blesses us with those talents, then I think we should go after it. Sometimes we achieve it, sometimes we don't.
That's right. Right, and like you say, we never want to confine ourselves to where we were, you know, years ago. And I can, I know exactly what you're saying about that, Malcolm, because I'm the same way. If I knew then what I know now, things would be different.
A heck of a lot different.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, another thing, Mr. Malcolm, you know, another thing that I was thinking about, a lot of people have their mindset to where as though they can't do this, or they have their mindset to, oh, man, this stuff here is already out. You know, I'm not, they try to go find something else to go do, to change something. But a lot of things have evolved, you know, like your irons. Remember the back in the day where they used to take the old iron, you understand, and put it on a stove, you know, so it can get warm. Then they ironed their clothes like that. Then they came up, they put a card up in there to get electrical and stuff like that. But let's say if you just want to go ahead on and make braids, you know, have an open mind. You know, because you go in the store and walk down the braid aisle and see all of these different companies, you know, just have braid. This braid is regular braid. It's braid. You know, it's sandwich braid. I mean, you know, like, so, you know, you got to think. Just open your mind and think. You know, that's why I did the book, Mentally Blind. Open your eyes. Think. You know, God gave you a brain.
John, another thing, I've been wanting to write a book for years, but quite frankly, I don't have the mindset for it. I haven't decided that, hey, this is what I really want to do. But I suppose one day I'm going to just get my mindset on this, and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write a book.
You can do it. That's the key. Look at Mr. Jensen. Mr. Jensen, he wanted to do this Council of Elders. Mr. Jensen did it. And right now today, you've been, what, you're at least about, what, 3 years strong? And it's steady, building on it.
Right. Well, let me read this. This is some examples of the growth mindset and the fixed mindset. So the fixed mindset would say, I am a certain type of person, and there's not much that I can do to really change that. That's the fixed mindset. The growth mindset would be, no matter what kind of person I am, I can always change substantially. In the fixed mindset, you can do things differently, but the important parts of who you are can't really be changed. In the growth mindset, you can always change basic things about the person you are. So it's just something that gives us pause to just remember, you know, that we're not fixed, that as long as we're alive, we can grow. And that is something that a lot of times these ideas are forced on us by other people as they put labels on us. You know, who do you think you are, you know, and stuff like that. Nobody's done that before. So we just have to remind ourselves that although I've never done it before or no one's ever done it before, it can be done with persistence. So it's just something that gives us all pause to remember that, like the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So anybody have any comments, questions, observations? So another thing this book is saying, that it's not all about intelligence. A lot of people say, well, you got to be smart, you know, to succeed. But not necessarily. A lot of it is in how you think. So she says, if you have a growth mindset, you believe that your talents and abilities can be developed over time through effort and persistence. People with this mindset don't necessarily believe that everyone can become Einstein or Mozart just because they try. They do, however, believe that everyone can get smarter or more talented if they work at it. Any comments?
Listen, I totally agree. You know, throughout life, the only thing we have to do is focus on things and work at it. And we can always improve in whatever area that we're at. When I was trying to become a CPA, I had some challenges with passing the exam. It was kind of tough on me. And the first time I took a study for the exam, my mindset, I was taking practice exams. And we may have, say, 6 or 7 practice questions related to a topic or a section. I would study the full, say, 1 through 5 or whatever, and then the last 2 or 3 I would just skim over them, you know. But when I got to the test, all of a sudden, guess what the questions that I saw? Questions 5, 6, and 7, the ones that I just skimmed over. So now I had to go back and change my mindset and say, my mindset really was, I was scared of the test in the first place, but in the second place, my mindset was, hey, I know I can pass this test. I recognize what I did wrong, and I just have to put my mind to it and focus on studying the things that I didn't study as thoroughly as I should have the first time around. And that was what, and with that mindset, I was able to accomplish my goal, which was passing the exam. And that's just studying and improving my knowledge and skill sets in the area of accounting. So, I mean, that's... You can't state it any clearer than if you practice something, you have to become better at it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And
John?
Another thing too. Yeah, another thing too with mindset. I think is very important for a person to know their abilities, because when you start telling people, you know, like we saw. We had the first black president, President Obama. You know, a lot of people, you know, think, you know, was telling their kids, you know, you see, you can be anything you want to be. But that, I don't believe that. Okay, you have abilities. God gave us all abilities. You know, that was his, that's what God gave him. You know, that was his ability, you know. And so, you know, you got to go out and find your abilities, what you're comfortable with, you know, and build on what you're comfortable with. Because all of us have a role to play in life. All of us, me, you, all of us. And we got to find out our purpose, you know. What are your purpose? You know, why are you here? You know, my purpose, you know, is to help people. My purpose is to motivate people. You know, President Obama's purpose was to run the world. And he did an excellent job doing it. You know, so we all have purpose. All of us is not going to be a president. All of us is not going to be a mathematician, you know. So it has a lot to do with it, too. You have to find out what your purpose is and then go for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me read one line from what Carol Dweck says in this book. She quotes Benjamin Barber, a political theorist, who once said, "I don't divide the world into the weak and strong, or the successes and the failures. I divide the world into the learners and non-learners. I don't divide the world into the weak and the strong, or the successes and the failures. I divide the world into the learners and non-learners." So what that tells me is that our lives are a journey of learning to change, learning new things that come up. And like you guys have said, if you decide that you wanted to do something, then you have to learn it. You may have to read. You may have to get mentors. But don't just stay stuck just because you don't know it. You know, a lot of times when I'm learning new things, I kind of beat myself over the head sometimes. And I'm like, man, I've just been so dumb. This is just so obvious. But now I'm starting to change that and just thinking, well, you know, I didn't know. Nobody told me, so I don't have to beat my head self over the head because I didn't know it. I'll just, you know, keep learning and keep progressing. And that has, you know, that has helped me a lot to not think of myself as dumb because I didn't know something. Any thoughts on that?
My thoughts, I don't know if I have a similar experience, Dan. I tend to, when I learn something and you know, it becomes repetitious, and if I'm trying to explain it or show it to someone else, quite frankly, sometimes I think they're dumb. It's so obvious. Can't you see 1 + 1 = 2? Or 2 + 2 = 4? But I have to remember that, you know, it may have taken me a minute to learn that 1 + 1 = 2. And so I have to be patient, you know, with people because they might not see it because I've done it a million times and they may be doing it just for, you know, initially. So they may not learn it as fast as because I already know it. It seems easy to me, and obvious more so than easy. It seems obvious. But I tell you, one of my challenges today, Ben, you had a guest on that did cryptocurrency. And I'm very excited about cryptocurrency, so I decided to take a couple of courses in cryptocurrency. And you talk about a mindset. It's really taken me a mindset to take this course and learn everything because I just want to take it and go with it. I thought it would be like, you know, trading stock or whatever, but it's a little bit different concept, and you have to learn some new things. And in taking this course, man, I'm going like, I can't wait till I'm an expert at this. You know, give me a couple of months, and I'm going to know this stuff back and forward. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's a matter of mindset. I got to set my mind to it, and it's tough. It's a challenge. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy for me. So I can. It's something that I've got to overcome. But anyway, those are my thoughts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
John.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. I love this show right here that you are doing, you know, talking about mindset. But I was just sitting down here just thinking. I say, you know, like one thing that I do know is that, and for all of us, like we need coaches, managers in our life. Regardless of what, you know, like you were saying, I was just thinking what Brother Malcolm was saying about, you know, his crypto. He's studying crypto now. He's learning. And, but it's, you know, it's kind of difficult because that's something new that he's getting into. And this is why we have coaches. This is why we have managers and coaches. You know, so that way they can help you get through that much easier and let you see some of the things that you wouldn't be able to see on your own because your brain never entered that, you know, that part in your life. So I think that I suggest anybody that want to get into anything, they definitely need to get somebody that know you want to get into business or whatever, you know what I'm saying? You got to learn about having being a partnership or either ownership or, was that a LLC and things of that nature. We got to learn these things. We got to learn how to actually get to where we gonna get. We got to have coaches for that. We just can't jump into something, you know, and just try to do it on our own because we could do it for a while, but eventually it's not gonna last, and that's real, you know. And what you want to do in life is build you a platform, you know, and build on it. Get you a solid platform and build on it. Go do it.
Hey, John, thanks for reminding me to take my own advice. I'm trying to do this thing the wrong way, this crypto thing especially. I need to find me a coach because one of the things a coach or a mentor does is, like you say, it shortcuts the learning curve. I mean, and so I've been trying to do this on my own and studying independently. And, you know, right now they have a lot of videos and so forth, but I need to get with someone who's actually doing it. And just, you know, just quiz them and let them coach me through a couple of things that I'm encountering right now. And so thanks for reminding me and reemphasizing that. Hey, I need to find a coach.
Mm-hmm. Amen,
right,
brother.
When this lady started this book off, she was researching. She says, when I was a young researcher just starting out, something happened that changed my life. I was obsessed with understanding how people cope with failures. And I decided to study it by watching how students grapple with hard problems. So I brought children one at a time to a room in their school, made them comfortable, and gave them a series of puzzles to solve. The first ones were fairly easy, but the next ones were hard. As the students grunted, perspired, and toiled, I watched their strategies and probed what they were thinking and feeling. I expected differences among children and how they cope with the difficulty, but I saw something I never expected. Confronted with hard puzzles, one 10-year-old boy pulled up his chair, rubbed his hands together, smacked his lips, and cried out, "I love a challenge." Another, sweating away on these puzzles, looked up with a pleased expression and said with authority, "You know, I was hoping this would be informative." What's wrong with them, I wonder. I always thought you coped with failure or you didn't cope with failure. I never thought anyone loved failure. Were these alien children or were they onto something? And I think what she's saying here is that sometimes when we face challenges, we face these challenges with the wrong mindset. We face them with, "Oh, I don't want to do this. This is boring. This is hard." Whereas another mindset would be, "I'm going to take this opportunity to learn. I'm going to do this one step at a time." So in facing challenges, this growth mindset and this fixed mindset comes into play even here again. And I'm happy to hear how some of you guys have faced challenges and are facing challenges, as we all do, because we can all learn from each other. So, like I said, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this show today. at the last minute, something came up, and my guest wasn't able to be on. But I think this is good for everybody to just be aware of two particular mindsets. One being, you know, this is the way I am. I'm going to have to stay in this box, you know, no point in me trying to stretch. And then the other mindset is, I can learn this. I may not know it, but I'm going to think positively about doing it, and I'm going to be persistent in learning it. So that's something that we all a reminder of every now and again. And let's see, if there's anyone who maybe been on the show before and hasn't spoken, feel free to express yourself.
Then while we're waiting on our time, me and while we're waiting on this, hopefully some others will not let me dominate the conversation. But anyway, I'm working with my grandchildren now, and one of the things that I have to do with them is make things easy so that they will get, so that their interest won't, they won't get bored or they won't like it. And so I have to try to make things easy for them in order that they'll enjoy it and it'll be fun and they'll want to come back and do it, especially things that are, I think, are relevant to them, and like teaching financial literacy. You can tell I'm real high on this financial literacy thing. Mm-hmm. But, Dan, what's your name, that author and that book? Because I'd like to kind of share some of that information with some kids that I encounter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, the name of that is called Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. And the author is Carol, middle initial S, last name Dweck, Dweck, and she's got a PhD behind it. She's has a doctorate degree in psychology, I think.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. John, did you want to say something? Okay.
Well, if he's not going to finish and say what he's going to say, I wanted to say something right quick. just quick. For the audience out there, you know, I would like for you guys to, you know, and as it's not a spiritual show or nothing like that, I don't think, I don't know, I'm not really sure, but before you get advice of anybody in the Bible, I would like for you to read Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Read that. And it speak of, you know, be careful, you know, don't be in the counsel of the ungodly because you can get bad advice. We're talking about coaches. We're talking about things of that, you know, mindsets and stuff like that. And you want to try to get help, you know, but be careful, you know, be very, very careful out there. And that's real. Okay, don't, you know, be in the counsel of the ungodly because what they would do, some people would go in on and give you some bad information just to get over on you. Okay, so that's all I have to say. Read that, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 5.
All right, John, thank you for that. Yeah, we can all relate to that, John, putting our faith in the wrong counselor.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, bro. That's what I'm talking about. I know I did it in a lot.
Well, you know, particularly when we're younger, we're always told, you know, mind your elders, you know, respect your elders. You know, a lot of times your elders want to take advantage of you. They know that you're thinking that, so they take advantage of you, take your money, take your time, and everything. So that's some good advice. I guess we're never too old to remember
that. That's real.
But Malcolm, I'm kind of interested in your talks. With your grandchildren, what are some of your methods? You know, in terms, you say you give them something easy.
Well, I just try to make it fun first and foremost, and I think that's the main thing with my kids is just make it fun. You know, if we can make it fun, and then to try to teach them certain things, certain values that are important to me. You know, we can't. Can't emphasize what's your priority, you know. Like John says, God is first and family is second, you know, and everything else comes after that. And so that's what we try to emphasize. And quite frankly, we're looking at, you know, what's the next generation is going to do. I mentioned that I'm working with my daughter, and this statement is getting me in a little bit of trouble, but I tell my daughter, I want you to be like Trump. You know, his daddy gave him $1 million, and look what he accomplished with it. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, I used to have my Trump as a business person before I found out some of his business practices. But I think it's a good thing is what he did with what his father gave to him. And so what I'm trying to do with my kids is my kids and my grandkids are to teach them certain values and not have a broke mindset, so to speak. You know, that, you know, you can have a wealthy mindset and you can have a broke mindset. And that broke mindset is that thick mindset that you were talking about. That wealthy mindset is that growth mindset that you were talking about, I think. And so that's what I'm trying to emphasize with them and just teach them how to cope in life. You know, whatever we do, we're basically trying to build that relationship with them. And let them know that, you know, Pops is always going to be there for them, good, bad, or whatever. And I think one of the biggest things that's personal to me, my thing is don't tell Pops a lie. I hate a liar. Y'all talking about how old people take advantage of young people, you know, but I just I hate anyone who's going to tell me a lie. I just can't deal with those kind of things. And so those are some values that I'm trying to teach them.
Right,
I think one of the biggest
Go ahead. Malcolm. Go ahead.
Just have that relationship with them where they know that they can come to you with conversation, with problems, with success, that you're going to love them. You know, those are the things. Now, I think once that has, well, that already has been established with them, and I think I'm just taking that foundation and growing from it.
Right, right. Well, thank you, Malcolm. Let me read a paragraph of a I guess you'd call it a thank you letter that someone wrote this author. It says, "Dear Professor Dweck, I've always had a problem with confidence. My coaches always told me to believe in myself 100%. They told me not to let any doubts enter my mind and to think about how I'm better than everyone else. I couldn't do it because I'm always so aware of my defects and the mistakes I made in every meet." And this is an athlete talking here. "Trying to think I was perfect made it even worse. Then I read your work and how it's so important to focus on learning and improving. It turned me around. My defects are things I can work on. Now a mistake doesn't seem so important. I wanted to write you this letter for teaching me how to have confidence. Thank you." So I think what this person was saying was that they were trying to think of themselves as being perfect, and they were looking at their weaknesses as being something that couldn't be improved on. And so I'm not trying to be a mindset coach, but I just wanted to bring this to light. Maybe it will help someone to just check out how they're thinking and not to limit themselves into a position where they can't grow, because that would be a fixed mindset. And with a fixed mindset, you're going to remain in the same place. I remember somebody said the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So we got a few closing minutes today, anybody have any last comments before we go?
I just think it's been a great topic for discussion today, Jan, and I'm looking forward to next Saturday.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Matt.
Yes. A very good topic today, and you're doing a good job, Mr. Jensen Brooks. Very good job, you know. Very good job.
Okay, John. Well, I learned from the best. you got me into this this thing. Thank you so much, and Malcolm, thank you for calling in today. All right, guys. Well, I think we're going to end the show. Who knows? We might continue this conversation next week, talking about mindset or some other good topic. And I want to thank everybody for calling in. If you just listen to this show online or whatever, the call-in number every Saturday at 10 o'clock Pacific time, the call-in number is 516-387-1611. And so you can feel free to call in. God willing, we'll be here every Saturday, 10 o'clock Pacific, 12 Central, and 1 o'clock Eastern time. All right, everybody, thanks for calling in today. And make it a great week. God willing, I will talk to you again next week.